T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb and very excited to introduce this morning's guest. She is Anne Hargraves. She is a mother, a fiancé, a business owner, and a cancer survivor. She is with me this morning to share her journey, and I think you'll agree that she is certainly exceptional. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Sue. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, thank you. We're so excited to talk with you today. First, I just want to get a little background on you and growing up. I know you have a sister. You were raised here in the Boston area in Lynn. You were focused on your studies. You were the first in the family to go to college. Talk a little bit about your upbringing.
My upbringing, probably not too different than a lot of other people, but I did have a young single mom. I grew up in Lynn, like you mentioned, with my sister. And it's funny, everyone says, oh, must have been tough. I had a biological father that really wasn't much of a father.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, a young mom. And, you know, it must have been tough. But my upbringing really wasn't tough. It wasn't always pretty. And we didn't have a lot, but we had everything we needed. My mom provided everything we needed as we were growing up, and she still does. So talking about exceptional women, I guess it starts there.
Yeah, it certainly does. But you were particularly driven, being the first in your family to go to college. I know you began a career in publishing. You were in Boston, you were in Florida, and your family at one point was even directly affected by the events of 9/11. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I guess I'll start back on the first person in my family go to college. I think that was a really important part of who I am now, because wasn't about me going to college. It was really about the fact that, you know, my mother so young and me growing up in the 80s, we don't necessarily have to say how old I am, right? there was never a question about whether I would go to college. And when I look back at that now, I think that was pretty remarkable, because like I said, we didn't have too much, and every time my mother asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, she always said, and you'll be going to college. And when I look back now and think, wow, that was a pretty bold statement for a little girl at that time, because everyone that I knew wasn't going to college. In fact, no one in my family ever had gone to college. So that was always my plan. That was always what I thought I was going to do, and there wasn't a question. So when it came time for that, that's what I did. And I'm so fortunate that I had someone in my life that made sure that that's where I was going. And, you know, to talk about the people in your life, which I think no matter what kind of life you have, it's colored and shaped by all the people around it. So I did have a really wonderful stepfather come into my life, and he did die in 9/11. He was on the first plane. And
ugh.
Yeah, it was really horrific and tragic, and
terrible,
it was a terrible day and time for everyone in our country, particularly around this area. But over the years and over some time in processing, what I've kind of boiled down to is that was a day and time, that was a moment in time, but it certainly wasn't my whole time with him. And what I've tried to do now is say how fortunate I am that I've had him in my life, that he chose me and he fathered me. And I'm extremely fortunate now that I've had another stepfather come into my life, and he's chosen me, and he's been just as much of a father figure in my whole life, in this portion of my life, as Donnie was then. So while I could focus on the tragic, and certainly I will always have that in my life, I've been so, so lucky to have these positive men in my life that have brought me to where I am.
And you talk, Anne, about parents, your mom and your stepfather, both stepfathers, how important they were. And you yourself now are a parent. You have two children. I want to take everybody back, because this was a difficult time, to 2014. You and your husband had divorced, but you remained very friendly. You had purchased a house in Boxford. You have kids who were at the time 7 and 10. And then something happened. Talk about the turn of events.
Yeah, you know, so in May of 2014, I bought a new home in Boxford, really pretty neighborhood up here. And I was with my fiance. We bought the home together, and my children were 7 and 10. And I had a really good life. I had a wonderful life. In fact, I remember sitting in my family room after I had it all decorated. You know, you run around and do all of that and worry about all these little things. It's this picture here. Is this the way I have the right throw pillows? And those were the big things going on in my life at the moment. And we had gotten our kids transitioned into the new school system, and everybody was happy. And I remember sitting there one night thinking, wow, this has all come together so nicely. This is really nice. What a great life I have. And in the meantime, I'm a runner. At least I like to call myself a runner. I'm probably not a really good one. But I was up in this wooded area and really enjoying it. And so I was running the neighborhood and running the trails. And I had some back pain and just assumed that I'd been overdoing it because I was, you know, enjoying my running at that time. And the back pain was just getting worse and worse and not getting better. And I've had plenty of injuries over time. Like I said, I'm not a very good runner. So trips, falls, you know, knees, ankles, a little bit of everything. So when my back hurt, I didn't think too much of it. I'd also had sciatica at one point when I was pregnant, and it felt a little bit like that. It was kind of going down my leg. So,
but one night it became really unbearable, and you went to the hospital.
It did. So over time, you know, doctor appointment, meds, chiropractor, acupuncture, I tried everything, and it just was getting worse and worse. And over the course of, you know, 3.5 months, December hits, and I was in work one evening, very late. We were running some parties for our factory, and I just couldn't move anymore. It wasn't getting better. It was getting to a point where I didn't feel like I could even walk. So I hobbled over to my car, got in the car, and on the way home was just in such unbearable pain. I didn't think I could get there. Throughout the odds, somehow I did get here and climbed into bed in tears. And then I always considered myself a pretty tough chick, so I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I was in bed for the next couple of days and waiting for an ultrasound on that Friday. And that Friday I went in for an ultrasound. They did not find what was going on with my back, but they did find something that seemed to be wrong with my pancreas. So I'll never be less grateful to an ultrasound tech in my life as I am to that one, who said, let's go up and get your doctor and figure out what this is all about. And it was about a lot more than my back, unfortunately.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so they sent me over to a hospital that afternoon. My doctor opened up his office at lunchtime and brought us right in, sent us over to the hospital for an MRI. And that MRI found I had a tumor on my pancreas, which was causing pancreatitis. I had a large mass on my back that was wrapped around my spine and eating away at it. And that was, those weren't even the worst of my problems. I had tumors throughout my entire torso, and all of my organs were about to be taken over by at least one of these tumors. So
Oh my God.
I was in pretty bad shape.
At that point, what is going through your mind? You're being told so much information so fast, and it's pretty devastating news.
Yeah, it's devastating. It's strange because at first you think nothing. You don't think anything. You go completely blank.
Mm-hmm.
You're in shock and disbelief, and you have no idea where to go or what to do. I think back, and people say to me all the time, what were you thinking at that moment? And I was like, I was honestly thinking nothing. I went blank.
Mm-hmm.
But you very quickly, it doesn't take you long to realize the gravity of the situation. And I obviously went right to my kids. I went right to, you know, Ryan, who was 10, and Danielle, who was 7. And I had a lot of time to think, because at that point I was admitted to the hospital, and I was there for a couple of weeks. And, you know, day by day, the prognosis kept getting worse. And it didn't seem like I had a lot of hope in terms of ever leaving the hospital. In fact, I was told I would not be leaving the hospital. And I thought about all the things that I was going to miss. And you know, I would have loved to have been able to marry Michael, and that wasn't going to happen. I would have loved to have seen every season in my new home, and that was going to happen. You know, those weren't things that would happen. And I was going to miss every single milestone in my kids' lives. I wasn't even going to see one of them graduate from elementary school. So, and I realized that at that young age, when I thought back over my memories as a child, while I have plenty of memories here and there, I have most of them because I've been talking about them and thinking about them and looking at pictures over the rest of my life to reinforce them. And these kids were probably never going to remember what I looked like beyond a photo or what I sounded like or any of the memories that we had together. And that was probably the biggest heartache I had ever experienced.
I can't even imagine. As a mother myself, mm-hmm. I can't even imagine the depth of that sort of grief. So what was the actual diagnosis? It was stage four, was it lymphoma?
Stage four lymphoma, yeah. It's a really rare form of lymphoma. So I'd had several diagnoses along the way, everything from Ewing's to pancreatic cancer. They were going back and forth because it was so hard to diagnose. And it ended up being a very rare, less than 1% of all cancers. It's called ALCL, which is anaplastic large cell lymphoma. So you can see why they use an acronym for that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty hard to say. And it typically hit older men. So even what little research they had, most of it just didn't apply to me as a woman in her 40s. So.
Right. If you're just waking up and tuning in, it's Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. We are talking with cancer survivor Anne Hargraves, who is talking about her journey and also about an important fundraising event for the North Shore Cancer Center. It's the annual North Shore Cancer Walk. Let's get back to our conversation. Being a resident of the North Shore, I know that you use the services of the North Shore Cancer Center. Talk a little bit about your treatment there and the support that you received from those professionals.
Well, let me tell you, if you do need to ever get sick, or you don't need to, but if you ever get sick, the place you want to be is in the Boston area, that's for sure. We have the best medical resources. I honestly would not be sitting here today, and I believe that fully, if I didn't live in this area. So I'm so fortunate in my travels that I ended up back here. I was where I belonged. And when you look at the world-class care that you can get in your backyard, you know, particularly through MGH and the North Shore Cancer Center, I was just astounded. I clearly had been touched by different things over my lifetime with my family needing medical care. I didn't think I would ever need this type of medical care.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't on top of the mind, you know, as to what was around me and what wasn't. But when I got to the North Shore Cancer Center and realized that it was far beyond the medical treatment, which I needed desperately, and had I not been here and had the type of treatment that I did, which was a very aggressive form of chemotherapy over 6 rounds every 21 days. It was a brutal, brutal treatment. But the services and the care that you get at the cancer center was just phenomenal. I felt like a person. I felt safe. I felt cared for. I was in some scary times, and every single time somebody told me anything about my body or my test results, I assumed they were horrible and that I was in trouble, and people would literally hold your hand, put an arm around you, took the time to explain everything. No questions felt stupid. It didn't matter what mood or emotion you were having at that moment. They treated you so compassionately. And I had days where I was probably a little surly and days that I was probably, you know, maybe very sad, and days that I was hopeful. And they handled all of those with such finesse and care. And then the services that you get, because I think what gets maybe overlooked a lot with cancer, and as it maybe should because it's such a dire diagnosis and such a big thing, is the treatment itself and the care that you need beyond chemotherapy or if you get radiation or surgery or any of the things that they use as treatment, the things that you need on top of that just to be able to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm allergic to lots of nausea medication, as luck would have it, right? So I needed the acupuncture, and I needed the acupressure when I couldn't have acupuncture anymore. And and the services where they came and talked to you about how to talk to your children about what's happening. And when they said they could get you a ride to chemotherapy, that was actually horrifying to me, to think that there were people that didn't have someone to give them a ride
right.
to chemotherapy.
Right.
So I did. I was really lucky to have so many wonderful people in my life that were, there beside me the whole time. But things like that were offered that you would never think about until you were somebody that might need some of those things were just remarkable.
Yeah. And I can tell you firsthand, I also have been treated at the North Shore Cancer Center, and I had a similar experience. I can't say enough about the compassion. And they treat you like a human, not a patient. And I can't say enough about it. So I want to talk a little bit about the walk that's coming up. It's the 28th annual North Shore Cancer Walk. It's going to be held on Sunday, June 24th in Salem. I know that you participated in your first walk back in 2015, and you were just weeks in remission at the time. But now you kind of have taken on a new role. Now you are a co-chair. Talk a little bit about that and why you've upped your game.
Yeah, I think to really talk about that, I will go back to the beginning a little bit. It's another way that the Cancer Center saved me and helped me through my recovery, because while I was in treatment, I was on my computer one of the few days that I wasn't too nauseous to be on my computer. And for some reason, I don't even remember how it came across my desk, but I saw something for the cancer walk. And while I'd heard about it before, my stepdad, in all of his great ventures, he's been hosting GE through that for years. And so I knew about it, but like everything else, it wasn't a direct part of my life at that time, so I wasn't thinking too much about it. But when it came in front of me, I was still in treatment, and I thought, okay, when I was sick, I literally could not walk. I was being lifted in and out of a bed. I was in pain. My back stopped working. My legs stopped working.
Wow.
And when I saw the walk, I thought, that's ironic. I want to walk. I want to make it through treatment. If I don't make it through treatment, I still want to somehow try to thank these people that have done so much for me these past few months. So I signed up for the walk when I was still in treatment. I was giving myself something positive to work towards, something that seemed realistic that I might be able to do, although walking 6 miles at that moment didn't sound like something I'd ever be able to do again.
Right.
So I signed up, and while I was there, while I was doing my fundraising and on my site one day, I saw something on the general site that said, let us know why you walk. Walker Spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And my first reaction was, because I can, because I'm able to walk again.
Right.
And it felt, metaphoric to me, and but at the same time, it made a lot of sense. It was so simplistic. It was a bigger message, but it was very simplistic. So I wrote a little something in there, and they reached out to me and asked if they could do an article on me. And I thought, absolutely, I'll take whatever I can get at this point. And I did that, and as I did the walk, I ended up raising lots of money. I guess it's hard to say no to a cancer patient, so I had that going in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised a lot of money, and I got a brick in the healing garden, and that became symbolic to me. It was literally something, concrete that was going to be there forever that said I made it through that year. I made it through that process, and anybody else that was walking through the healing garden during their treatment would get some type of note of inspiration from someone who'd been there.
Yeah.
And in each year, I've decided that's what I was going to do, and I wanted to make sure that I gave back, and while I can walk, I will walk, and I will continue to get that brick for me and for everybody else as my note of inspiration. And then, someone from North Shore reached out to me and asked me if I'd be interested in being the co-chair this year. And I thought, what a wonderful way to really give myself even a little bit more to an organization that's given so much to me, but to also to be a face and a voice to all of the people that did not have the great outcome that I had. I'm a miracle. I should not be sitting here.
I was going to say, you've been in remission now for how long? And tell us how you're feeling and how you're doing. And then we're running out of time, so I want to circle back and just give people the details on the walk. But quickly tell us what your prognosis is now and how you're doing.
Yeah, so, story that shouldn't have been told, but here it is. And so happy to say that I am 3 years in remission as of this month.
Oh, congratulations.
So that's
wonderful.
Yeah, Yeah, the 2-year mark was pretty big for us because mm-hmm. that was our recurrence rate going down drastically. So we're pretty fortunate as a family that we've made it this far, and I'm very, very happy to say that we see positive things. I'm healthy now. I have all the after effects, as you know, probably firsthand what those might be. So life yes. will never quite be the same. But those are all the reasons that I'm doing the work I'm doing with the walk for hopefully a cure one day, but for research, for treatment options, for things that bring high quality of life for cancer patients, you know, at any point in stage in mm-hmm. their recovery.
And I want to talk a little bit again about the specifics of the walk. It's the 28th annual North Shore Cancer Walk. It's Sunday. It's June 24th at Salem Willows Park. It is, the program opens at around 8 o'clock. The walk begins at 8:30. So people can sponsor a walker. I know they can also go online and donate to the cause as well. So even if you can't make it, go online and donate. It's so important to raise funds for this cause. As you said, people don't realize how many services a cancer patient and their family, by the way, need surrounding the treatment that go well beyond the actual, radiation, chemo, but like you said, some psychological support and some technical stuff. So thank you so much, Anne, for sharing your story. I mean, it's so wonderful that they have you as somebody that is promoting this because, boy, talk about somebody who's been there and somebody who's defied the odds and somebody who understands what a gem we have in our own backyards with the North Shore Cancer Center.
I couldn't agree more. And yes, I would love it if anybody wanted to come join us at the walk. It's a really fun day. It sounds early. It's early for me too, but it's a fun, fun day. And it brings the positive out of some things that were really negative in other people's lives. So I'm looking forward to it. But if they can't make it, we appreciate any donation, large or small.
Yeah, and I'll be there as well, Anne. So I'm looking forward to meeting you. I'm there every year. I emcee it. I sort of kick it off. It's really important to me personally, and I don't ever miss it. It's a very, as you use the word, hopeful. It's a very hopeful, inspirational day, and it's fun for the whole family. So I encourage everybody to get out to the North Shore Cancer Walk on June 24th. And Anne Hargraves, thank you so much for sharing your story today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much again for having me, Sue, and I can't wait to meet you at the walk.
Yes, thanks. Bye, Anne.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. Today, Anne Hargraves has been in the spotlight, but remember that exceptional women are everywhere. We interview celebrities and authors and CEOs, but we also want to talk to your neighbors and coworkers and friends who are just quietly making a difference. If you know someone like that, let us know. And tune in every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Thanks and have a great Sunday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.